The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Bringing you Mind Matters right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Let me just introduce our person for today. We would like to welcome Miss Stephanie Sam, who is live with us right now. So welcome to Freedom and good morning to you. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning, everybody. It's such a pleasure to be here, and I'm doing well.
All right, so today we're talking about academic stress. So I think let's start off with this question. What exactly is academic stress, and how does it differ from general stress?
Right, so when it comes to understanding academic stress is basically the pressure many students feel that is directly linked to their schoolwork, exams, expectations, maybe from their parents, their teachers, and even their educational institutions. Whereas your general stress is stresses that persons may experience from many areas of life. It could be family stress, financial stress. It could also be in relationships. So when it comes to understanding academic stress is more focused towards a student's experience at school and their learning environment and how the stresses may impact their learning.
Mm-hmm. And what are the most common signs that a student may be struggling with academic stress?
Right. So some signs are emotional. So some of your emotional signs may be irritability. There may be mood swings. They sometimes may be withdrawn. You may notice your child distance themselves from extracurricular activities. They may tend to sometimes isolate. Then there may be physical symptoms. Students may experience headaches. Sometimes they may struggle with poor sleep or changes in appetite. Symptoms. Behavioral symptoms may be a student may procrastinate doing an assignment. They may tend to avoid school a lot, make excuses of not going to school or completing their assignments. And then there's on the flip side, a student may work so hard and without any rest that it leads to burnout. Additionally, parents and teachers may notice that a child's performance at school may drop. They may no longer achieve a certain grade. So there are different types of signs that parents and teachers can notice, and these are just a few.
And the...
Right.
So, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the next question I have for you, what are some of the main causes of academic stress in today's environment? I mean, you mentioned a few, but let's go further into it, especially as it pertains to the current atmosphere that we're experiencing in schools today.
Right. So in Trinidad and Tobago, a lot of our students prepare for SCA, CSEC, CAPE exams, and just that whole preparation is a lot of stress. You have parental expectations. You have expectations from your teachers. They may sometimes compare themselves to their own peers. So there's competition. Mm-hmm. Additionally, within our nation's schools, we see there's a lot of school violence taking place. This is a part of general stress that can result into affecting a child's academic environment, because at the end of the day, you want to ensure that your environment is safe, that your child is able to function, focus properly without any form of distraction or any form of hindrance. Additionally, I would say, especially for Form 1 students who are now transitioning into a new class and a new school environment, that could definitely bring a lot of first day jitters, a lot of anxiety, and this can definitely impact them mentally if they don't have the right support and guidance.
And just coming off of that question, when we're talking about the environment, what do you have any suggestions for changing the environment? I mean, there's only so much you can control within the school itself. But for like any tip for any child who's maybe listening right now, what can they do to I don't know if zone out is the word, but to at least, you know, keep themselves safe in the environment?
Right. I think first and foremost, communication is important. So any child who's listening right now, I want to urge you to recognize that you're not alone. Speak to your parents, speak to your teachers. If something makes you feel uncomfortable in your environment at home, And even at school, know that there are people around you that can help you and support you to create a safer environment for you, because we want to ensure that you are in an environment where you are able to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, achieve the best version of yourself through academics. So I think it most importantly is reassuring them that you're not alone, and there are people and systems in place, like your principals, even guidance counselors, who are there to support you in times of challenges and in moments where you need that guidance and extra support, especially if you feel uncomfortable in certain environments.
And how does academic stress affect a young person's mental health and overall well-being?
Right. So when it comes to stress, stress can show up in both the mind and body. And we know that. So there are days where we feel very much overwhelmed. Anxiety may consume us. Some days we don't want to get up and do what we're supposed to do. But in the short term, it may cause fatigue, poor concentration. A student may become irritable. Over time, if these symptoms are not managed, or you don't have the proper support to guide you and help you through your challenges, it can definitely lead to feelings of anxiety, feelings of depression, burnout, as well as it can definitely impact a child's overall self-esteem. They may sometimes question themselves that they're not good enough, they need to try harder. So it definitely can impact their overall confidence.
Mm-hmm. Now, leading up to SEA/CSEC/CAPE, the mode of thought sometimes in some parents would be, I'm going to take away or remove the extracurricular activities that you have around so that you can, you know, maintain your focus on your schoolwork, your academic side of it. Can you give us some tips on how to find a balance between the academic and the extracurricular activities so that that pressure of having to deal with, oh, one time that I get to, you know, free up, so, as they say. Yeah. Can you give any tips for parents who may be anxious about that?
Right. So as you mentioned, balance is important. Your mental health is interconnected with your physical health. And in order to actually maintain a sound mental health, I always encourage my parents, and especially the children that I interact with on a daily basis, get yourself involved in a hobby, a sport, get the body moving, because it helps with overall development and even concentration and functioning. So to parents, I want to encourage you that definitely ensure that your student ensure that your child has a balanced routine to follow. And because at the end of the day, they need a space to exert themselves, to explore their feelings. So if they love cricket, get them into cricket. So it's about actually scheduling their time, ensuring that they set aside, yes, time for work and academics, but while they're preparing for their exams, at least they take some breaks in between to engage in these hobbies, because it's important. It helps with overall mental health, sound mental health, and their development. Mm-hmm. And it can definitely be their way of coping during that stressful period of exams.
So this is kind of in tandem with the next question. What practical steps can students, parents, and educators take to reduce or manage academic stress?
Right. So for students, I would say time management is key, because
what is time management? You know, a lot of people have been saying time management, manage your time. But how do you do that? I mean, it's a little step within the answer. But
it's about structuring your routine and knowing what you're able to actually focus on at a certain time, and understanding your body, because when your body becomes tired, it's very much difficult for you to push through or read on an assignment. So it's actually listening to your body. That's the somatic area of your body, recognizing, okay, I need to take a step back. I need to actually revisit something. Additionally, it's about actually breaking tasks into smaller steps. So when you take regular breaks in between and balancing, keeping that balance between study and rest and hobbies, definitely you would actually be able to put systems in place with time management. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know that sometimes, most of the times, time management is difficult because we have a lot on our plates. We want to get things done, but mental health breaks is important, and include it in your schedule, because at the end of the day, physical activity, healthy sleep, routines can definitely help in terms of your overall development. When it comes to studying, sometimes we want to procrastinate. Sometimes we want to wake up the night before the exam and study.
Mm-hmm.
That's not healthy. Your body needs enough rest to prepare for the examination. So when you know that you have an examination in place, you put systems in place before to study in advance. Because when you procrastinate and when it is you rush down an assignment or studying before the exam, you're only going to put your body under that extra stress. Mm-hmm. It's easy for us to actually cram. We love to cram. In some cases, it may work for some persons, but at the end of the day, it's not healthy, because at the end of the day, your body needs rest and time to prepare for an exam, to prepare yourself for the next day, because at the end of the day, our body needs rest.
So if a parent decides, you know, before the exam, they decide to go the night before, you know what I mean? Like the evening before,
yeah.
Take like an excursion or something just to blow off steam, relax. That's fine.
So I would say, and every student is different.
Mm-hmm.
Every family is different. If you know your child has prepared enough for the exam and they did the work that they're supposed to do and need a little break, no problem. Mm-hmm. Taking that break is important. But you should know your child and their capabilities and what they're able in terms of contributing when it comes to the exam. So I think it starts by having communication with your child, sitting with them, helping them in their study, going back to the traditional days where parents actually sit with their children at the table, checking their books, helping them, because the parental aspect is our first institution and it's the most important, and a child needs that. So parent support is integral in this.
So let's take a look at the educator's perspective. Now, the complaint has been that the SBA is too much. The continuous assessment is ridiculous. It feels like a primary school student is now a university student with the kind of, you know, workload. Is there any way that educators can, I don't know, if adjust the curriculum, adjust the workload, give it in bites? What do you suggest?
Right. So we're actually in the second week of school, and I've heard a lot of students in my space who have already said they already got homework already in Form 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yes, the curriculum is a lot, and in a short space of time, we have to get things done. So I think when it comes to educators, they need to be mindful of the workload and the capacity that their children are able to actually process at that given period and certain times. So I think at the end of the day, you foster an atmosphere and an environment where you communicate with your students, let them know that at the end of the day, you're here to support them as well. While you're able to support them academically, a teacher is also someone who is there to support you emotionally. So when you feel stressed and overwhelmed, recognize how it can definitely impact your students, and you put things in place. Maybe you can give them things in small bites, small tasks, so that they're able to actually, at the end of the day, while they're getting new work done, they also focus on their well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at the end of the day, constructive feedback is important. You talk to your students, you interact with them, you let them know how they're able to process it. If they don't understand, find a different method. There are different ways to study and different ways to understand things. Maybe a child may not be able to study through reading and they need visualizations. So I think is placing that in a classroom environment where you have different methods to meet the needs of every child.
And lastly, quick relaxation tips for any student who may feel overwhelmed in the present moment. What are like one or two quick tips to get centered again?
Yeah. So one of my favorite one, and those who know me or who've experienced group sessions with me, I always say smell the flower, blow the candle. And what I simply mean by that is inhale and exhale. And it's just a basic breathing exercise. Now, we breathe every day to survive. Mm-hmm. But if it is we become more intentional with it, we can recognize how it can definitely regulate our nervous system. Being more intentional with breathing exercise. So you can be in your classroom. If you feel that little jitters, sit down and just close your eyes and say, smell the flower, blow the candle. And what do I mean by that? Breathe in and breathe out. And it can definitely help calm you down when you feel anxious and overwhelmed. Additionally, I would say get as I mentioned earlier, get into hobbies, because definitely it can definitely help in easing any form of stress. Journaling is important. You can have your own journal as a student, write down your thoughts. If you love creative arts, engage in coloring, engage in dancing. Music definitely helps. So get involved in an activity that you like and you enjoy. That can definitely bring that peace when you feel stressed during the exam period.
Well, Ms. Sam, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and giving us, you know, those tips. And let's hope that we can put them into action, because this year could be a stressful year.
Definitely, yes.
Thanks so much.
Especially short space of time to get things done. So thank you for having me.
No problem. And we'll hope to see you again soon.
Yes. So take care. Thank
take care.
You.
Bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.